Well, friends, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I am a proud alumni of South Arbor Charter Academy back in Ann Arbor, Michigan. That's where I went to elementary school, and I'm a proud South Arbor Knight. All right. Well, but, you know, one of the reasons why I'm proud of being from that school is because they did something kind of unique. They had assemblies, every Wednesday morning. They'd get the whole school in the gym. They'd sit us on the hard gym floor, which, you know, these days doesn't sound like it would be that appealing. But anyway, it was a lot of fun. We had this big assembly. We'd give out awards and all that. But what I remember the most is that we would have these this theme called monthly virtues, all right, where during the assemblies every week we would talk about the virtue of the month, all right. And I don't know how they did it, but they got us excited about virtues, right, to the point where we were like, compassion, yeah, you know, like we like shout it in the assembly, honesty, you know. Perseverance, right? And I don't know how they did that with us kids, but we got excited about virtues. And then what was so unique was that, like, the students actually kind of took it seriously. Now we made fun of it a little bit, but we also took it seriously. Where every month we were like remembering, oh yeah, we're like talking about like perseverance this month, like trying, right? Like we keep on trying. And I guess we should be like kind to each other, you know. And I remember it actually. And this is wild to me. In fourth grade, all right, that was actually when the school started. All right, so I started attending in fourth grade, and that's when the school started. And the students in our class, the popular kids in our class, said, you know what, this is going to be a different kind of school. We are not going to have popular kids. We're going to treat each other all the same. That was coming from the popular kids, so we all did it, right? It was incredible. And for me, coming out of that school, I had an appreciation for virtues, showing respect and having character and honesty and all that. Now, of course, I mean, I know that I'm a sinner and I'm not perfect and I don't follow them as I should, but it gave me an appreciation for living a virtuous life. Now, I gotta say that at least places like South Arbor, where I went for school, it seems like they sometimes do a better job at virtues than we Christians do, right? Sometimes I'll hear Christians say something like, well, I'm forgiven, so I can live however I want. Well, and hopefully they're not like saying that out loud, but we sure do think it, don't we? Like, well, you know what? I'm forgiven anyway, so that's kind of like a license to do whatever I want, right? And of course, we know as Lutherans, we are not saved by works. Nothing we do saves us. It's Jesus alone, right? And I will take that to my grave. That is completely true, and that's what we need to hear every Sunday as we come to church. But you know, when we take that to kind of like a dark turn, is when we say, you know what, we're saved by works, so what we do doesn't matter. Jesus, in our gospel reading this morning, said this: if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then a few verses later, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. When you hear Jesus say things like that, does it really sound like he doesn't care how we live? I don't think so. I think he cares very much how we live. As Lutherans, when we talk about the law, there's classically three parts of the law, or three uses of the law that we talk about, right? And maybe you remember this from like confirmation class, all right? And I always think of myself getting pulled over in high school, right? to think through these, all right? I remember once I got pulled over, and I don't remember what it was for, but I remember I got pulled over, and it was late at night, and it was probably like 11 o'clock, and it was dark. And you ever have that experience? I hope not. That experience of like you get pulled over, and suddenly there's like red and blue all around you, and it's dark, and all you see are just flashes of red and blue. And I'll tell you what, as a high schooler, you're going, uh-oh, I'm in for it, right? And if you want to think about the three uses of the law, why did they pull you over? Well, because you were doing something wrong, something you should not have been doing. We call this the curb, all right? The curb, like it keeps you on the straight and narrow, right? And so whatever I was doing, if I was speeding or if I had turned somewhere I shouldn't have turned or whatever, you know, like the whole idea of getting pulled over is that it's the curb. It keeps you on the straight and narrow, keeps you doing what you should be doing, all right? So that's why I got pulled over. And then what am I feeling when I get pulled over? I'm dead meat, right? Oh, man. Oh, I'm going to have to pay like $1,000. And then even worse, I'm going to be like grounded, right? And you start to feel like horrible, like, oh, I'm a criminal, right? Oh, I'm going to be put away forever, right? And that part of the law is called the mirror. It shows you how terrible of a person you are and how much you need Jesus, right? You need forgiveness. You need restoration. But then there's a third use of the law, and it's called the guide. Curb keeps you on the straight and narrow. The mirror shows you how terrible of a person you are and how much you need Jesus. And then the third one, the guide. This is when the officer says, all right, here's your ticket. But next time, try to go the speed limit, all right? And have a good day, right? And it tells you what you should be doing, how you should be living. Curb, mirror, guide. What does Jesus say? Verses 18 and through 20 in John chapter 14. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. What did he say? I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. And because I live, you also will live. And in that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I think that sometimes, as Christians, we live as if Jesus is not here. As if Jesus is not watching. As if Jesus doesn't care. But what did he say? I will not leave you as orphans. We may not see him, but Jesus says, well, the world can't see him. We can see him. He is present here among us. And if we actually believe that he is present here among us and he does not leave us as orphans, then that means that we should live as if he is still here among us because he is. Friends, here is the beautiful truth. Jesus is among us, and our lives are part of Jesus, and Jesus has made his life a part of ours, and he has redeemed your life. He went to the cross for you. He took all of your sins for you, including the ones that have you got caught with all the red and blue flashing all around you. Those sins too, thank goodness. He took all of those to the cross. and he took them to the grave. And he rose from the dead. And he sent you, his Holy Spirit. Which means, dear Christian, that you live a brand new life. You live the life of Jesus. Which means you live as Jesus would live. Which means that your life is cross-shaped. You make sacrifices in your life for others. And you follow the way of Jesus. Which means that you live according to a different kind of law. This is what I love about how Luther uses the Ten Commandments in the Small Catechism. Because, I don't know, when I was a kid, I just viewed them as a list of rules that made life a little less fun, right? Oh, what do you mean I can't steal that? That would be a lot of fun to have that for myself. What do you mean I can't punch that guy in the face because he kind of deserves it? That'd be a lot more fun to punch him in the face, right? Oh man, what do you mean I can't like sneak around and lie to my parents and do whatever I want? Because it'd be a lot more fun to do that than to have to honor my father and my mother, right? But we don't treat them like a list of rules anymore. They are that, but they're more. And this is what I love about what Luther does, right? He takes them and he says, so this is what we're not supposed to do, but here's what they say that we should do. So instead of just not stealing, we actually help people retain their possessions and actually improve them. Instead of just not killing or punching people in the face, hey, we actually care for the bodies and souls of other people and help to improve them wherever we can. So, and instead of just not disobeying our father and our mother, we actually honor them and take care of them and hold them in high esteem and with all other authorities. You see what he does? He turns them inside out. He shows what the commandments tell us to do. And if you read through Scripture, this is not foreign to the way that Scripture talks, right? We talk about the fruits of the Spirit. Those are Christian virtues. It's aspiring to be the kind of people that God would want us to be, that Jesus has made us to be. And hopefully this sounds familiar to you. Galatians 5, 22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is, do you have these memorized? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then 1 Corinthians 13, maybe you had this as your wedding passage. I've preached at so many weddings on this, all right? 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And I love this also from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, where Paul says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And I could go on and on and on, but Scripture talks a lot about being the kind of people that Jesus wants us to be, that Jesus has made us to be. Is anybody here old? And you remember those like bracelets, those like WWJD bracelets? What did that stand for? What would Jesus do, right? And on the one hand, like sometimes I feel like those could like have like undue focus on ourselves and that Christianity is all about us and how we live. And it's not. It's about Jesus and what he does for us and the new life that he gives to us. But I think there is something to that, right? Where we need to remember that that Jesus has come and lived a human life in our place. He's set the bar for what a human life looks like. And it is worth asking, how would Jesus live my life? As a father or as a mother? How would Jesus live my life as a husband or wife? How would Jesus live my life as a student or as a grandfather or as an office worker or a garbage man or fill in the blank, right? How would Jesus live my life? Because the truth is, dear Christian, he is living your life. He lives his life through ours. We are the body of Christ. And so he is in the world doing his works through you. And so that should make us ask questions, right? How do I speak to my family? How do I treat my family? How do I control my desires? How am I intentional about my desires and filtering out the ones that aren't so Christ-honoring? How do I use my time as Jesus would use time? It's worth asking maybe some hard questions. But I found this beautiful quote, and I'm going to read it here at length. It's two paragraphs, so just a warning. But listen to how Luther talks about the Christian life. I love this. I think it's worth letting him have the mic for a second. Luther says, "Faith, however, is a divine work in us that changes us and makes us to be born anew of God. It kills the old Adam and makes us altogether different men in heart and spirit and mind and powers. Faith brings with it the Holy Spirit. Oh, it is a living, busy, active, mighty thing, this faith. It is impossible for it not to be doing good works incessantly. It does not ask whether good works are to be done, but before the question is asked, it has already done them and is constantly doing them. Whoever does not do such works, however, is an unbeliever. He gropes and looks around for faith and good works, but knows neither what faith is nor what good works are. Yet he talks and talks with many words about faith and good works. No, faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace. So sure and certain that the believer would stake his life on it 1,000 times. This knowledge of and confidence in God's grace makes men glad and bold and happy in dealing with God and all creatures. And this is the work that the Holy Spirit performs in faith. Because of it, without compulsion, a person is ready and glad to do good to everyone, to serve everyone, to suffer everything out of love and praise to God who has shown him this grace. Thus, it is impossible to separate works from faith, quite as impossible as to separate heat and light from fire." Friends, what you do and how you live matters. You have the Holy Spirit working in you and through you. Now, I get it. You know what? You and I are going to fail marvelously. And that's when it's good to remember that, you know what? Your Savior does not leave you as an orphan. He is with you. And he is your Savior. And it's good to remember, you know what? That Jesus has given you resurrection life. And your resurrection life is not dependent on your good works. It only comes from Jesus. It is a gift. But your resurrection life comes with a host of good works. So, maybe in your life, try out what South Arbor Charter Academy did. Maybe you try some monthly virtues, and you have a virtue of the month. Honesty! Honesty! Perseverance! Right? Character! All right, maybe not, but you get the idea. Friends, what good works is Jesus calling you to? What is Jesus doing through you for the world? In Jesus' name, amen.